Good morning, church. Good to see everyone out this morning. I hope that you brought a Bible, and I invite you to turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to be looking at the scriptures there together in Matthew 2 just momentarily. I do have some good news I want to share with you if you hadn't heard. But my daughter Olivia was baptized into Jesus on Friday night. And I know, amen, that was a great joy for Olivia, of course, but for all the family. And my heart's full of joy and thankfulness about that this morning. And I just want to say how wonderful it is. And I want to thank you for all of the spiritual, positive spiritual influences and the good teachers and the good elders and the wonderful people in this congregation who mean so much to me and to the family here. Thank you, brethren, and God bless you all. And I'm so glad we can share that special decision she made, and that you're part of it here in this church. This morning, I am mindful, as Brother Glazier is as well, that the Christmas holiday is this week. And many of our own are traveling and are going to be traveling. And this is the time of year that people are talking about Jesus. They're wanting to hear about Jesus. They'll go and visit churches seeking to hear and learn something of Jesus. It might be why you're here this morning. And we are so glad that you are here. And that puts me in mind of a particular account in Matthew 2 where men traveled far from the east to Jerusalem looking for the king. And they make that journey. They find King Jesus because they are following a star. They're following a star. I don't wonder if we have any stargazers in the room this morning. I think Brother Fannin might be a little bit of a stargazer. Have you heard, do you know, have you seen the story? Actually, there is an incredible event happening that the astronomers are all excited about. Tomorrow night, December 21st, the two planets of Jupiter and Saturn, their orbits are aligning in such a way, it's going to look like the two planets merge. This is something that you don't want to miss because we've not seen that here on Earth since the year 1226. Okay? So it's not just something... this is a once in a lifetime for you to see that, but it's once in several lifetimes for you to see that. You want to go outside, you want to see that event, and you want to praise God for His creation. Well, I say that because what I know is that these wise men in Matthew chapter 2, they were evidently stargazers. There's a lot of things we don't know about these wise men in Matthew 2 because the Bible does not tell us. For instance, who are these wise men? Here's this translation of a Greek magoi, or we find it sometimes magi. Maybe that means they come from a tribe of Medes. Maybe they are a Persian caste of priests or philosophers or astrologers. Our English word magic and magician comes from this word, but not king. They're not kings. And where exactly did they come from? There's a whole lot of territory that's east of Jerusalem. Did they come from Mesopotamia? Did they come from Persia? It's interesting, but you know, you read in the Old Testament about the God's great prophet Daniel and all of the influence that he was in Babylon, in the Persian Empire. Is it possible that some of his writings and some of his influence had a spiritual legacy in that part of the world, and so somewhere knew of Jerusalem? And how many wise men were there? Traditionally, we always picture three, and I think that's because there are three gifts mentioned that are given. But we're not told that either. Maybe it was a whole entourage. Maybe it was six. Maybe it was 50. What the Bible does show us is a story of following a star to find the King Jesus Christ. And I want to read that to you. It's in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. Matthew 2 verse number 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah.
For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Boy, that's wonderful. And there's so many great lessons that we can take from this account. What I want you to appreciate this morning is how God used a unique star to bring them from a far country to the very place of Jesus Christ. Now I want to consider this account this morning and how it typifies the Christian's mission of evangelism, of sharing the good news and of leading people to Jesus Christ. Yes, disciples lead others to God. And he has made his people, he has made his church lights in the world, light in the darkness. You and I can be the star leading others to Christ. And this morning I want to draw out from this account four ways to be the star that God has made you, to be the star you are in leading others to Jesus Christ. The first is this. Number one, set a shining example. Shine. Set a shining example. What I see in Matthew 2 and verse 2 is that there was a star visible in the darkness of the sky. When they got to Jerusalem, they said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, or we've seen his star when it rose. It's interesting. If you're reading the ESV this morning, which I know several of you are, it says, we saw his star when it rose. The New King James says, we saw a star in the east. We were looking and we saw the star. Now look, stars are important. You can go back to the book of Genesis in Genesis chapter 1. And as you read verses 14 through 16, we'll see that God created stars along with the sun and the moon with a purpose. To be signs and mark off seasons. That is, he placed stars in the sky to help people as signs. And we know people have often and for ages navigated by the stars. But also people observe the stars that they are fixed in certain seasons. In other words, the sky and where the stars are in summer is different than it is in winter. You stargazers know that that is true. And for these wise men looking at the sky to see a new star rise, to see a new star, this is remarkable. And the wise men could see it. They noticed. They're looking up, they're looking out, seeking, and what they see is this star. It was visible, it was bright, it was shining. And seeing that shining star prompted a wonderful journey to Jerusalem, a wonderful journey ultimately to Jesus Christ. And what I want you to appreciate this morning, my brother and my sister in Christ, is that you are the light of the world. And so be the star you are, brethren. Let your light shine and the world will see it. In fact, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, if you want to leave your marker there in Matthew 2, but go with me to Philippians chapter 2 and notice that the Apostle Paul teaches we are lights in the world. Particularly in Philippians 2, and verse number 15, he says that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now catch this, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You are lights in the world. So shine. What's that look like? What is this shining example? Well, look with me at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The shining example exemplifies the importance of salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
trembling. Oh, what an example it sets in how you shine to be salvation-minded. The world sees one who is living for another world. In other words, my whole life, your whole life, it isn't all tied up in the here and now. The ups and downs of now. The sorrows or even the disappointments of this life. I got to recommend the article on the back of the program to you today. You just got to read that when you get a minute. This fantastic contrast is set up. How do you look at, and everyone did a great job with this, how do you look at 2020? Is it a testing crucible of fire? Or is it a dumpster fire? You got to read it. It's fantastic. But here's what I'll tell you. When you're working at your salvation with fear and trembling, when it's all about the idea of salvation in another world, you have the potential to see whatever's going on this life as that refining fire. Because your mind is on something better and something grander. And I tell you, that stands out. I'm looking for something more. I'm striving for something more. That's an example. Go on with me in Philippians 2 and verse 12. And notice the value of obedience to God. Beloved, as you have always obeyed, not just in my presence, now much more in my absence. You don't just obey God because, you know, apostle standing over your shoulder making sure you obey God. You don't obey God because mom and dad are there making sure you obey God. You obey God because he is your God. And you are a child of God. And people see that. That is a different kind of life, one that obeys God. When the world sees one who is obedient to God, you don't have to tell people, I obey God. You obey God, they will see. They will see how you live differently. They will see how you speak purely. They will see how you dress modestly. They will see how you work diligent. They will see how you nourish and lead your family. It's not just because someone's looking over your shoulder. You are obeying God, obeying the word of God, and it sets you apart. Stay with me in Philippians 2. Look at verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. I will tell you that your light shines when you exemplify good attitudes. The world notices a positive and a joyful person, one who's humble and with a good attitude. And in this 2020 year, I see the star power, the standout power of people who can keep their chin up and their heaven focused amidst tragedy and disappointment all around. That our faith is in Christ. This is not to say that the days aren't hard. They are hard, but we are moving forward. And what we're not going to do is get into the mindset of the world to complain and to gripe and to groan and to moan. Exemplify holding fast the word of God. Verse 15 says this, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. And the world sees people, it shines, who are committed and convicted upon the Bible. Who are not ashamed to cling to the Bible. Who are not ashamed to cling to religion. Who are willing to say that I am a Christian. I believe in God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I will not apologize for that. I cannot apologize for that. And people see boldness. We need to be bold. Standing and convicted upon the Word of God. Boldness stands out. Telling you that your example matters. You shine. You're a star in this sky. You're a star in this darkness. And we're told it over and over again in the scriptures. How Jesus taught us that your love for one another, by your love for one another, the world will know that you are my disciples. They will see. They will know who you are by your love for one another. They see the love among Christians. They see your good works. And they will glorify God. They're seeing what you're working. They're seeing what you're doing. And as you do it in your service to the Lord, they glorify God. Even when it looks like that we are losing in this life, suffering for our faith and persecution, we're even taught in the manner in which we suffer in the name of Christ and as Christians that God is glorified, though they are put to shame, though they blaspheme against him.
We set the example even in this. Like a new star rose up and the wise men saw it, so your shining example is seen by people in this darkness, people looking for Christ. Be the star you are. When I go to Matthew chapter 2, I see a second way that we are the star, and that is to share your hope in the King. Number two in your notes, share your hope in the King. Now catch this in Matthew 2 and verse 2. They want to know, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. Now whether it's we say his star that rose up or his star in the east, we saw his star. And the star showed these wise men there was something great and there was something greater out there. His star. The wise men then followed his star, that star. There was a promise there, a hope of something great if they would follow the star. But now consider what that meant for them, to follow the star. Well, that meant packing up. That meant making arrangements. That meant making a long journey. That meant maybe making some goodbyes, saying some goodbyes. It might have meant hearing a little bit of mockery even on their way out the door. You're going where? Jerusalem, what's in Jerusalem? You know, one man's pilgrimage is another man's fool's errand. Why are you doing that? But there was an expectation of something greater there. The star was a sign. It was a sign of hope. They followed with a confident expectation. It was leading them to a great King. And I'm saying, Christian, be the star you are, that we are the people of hope. Hope in the King. We are here to communicate hope to this world. And it's not hope in me. I got it all figured out. It's not hope in Edwin because he's perfect and he's awesome. It's hope in Jesus Christ. And we are people of hope. We have been born and created as people of hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, we're born again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Have you ever let your mind play the game, what if? What if I caught this terrible sickness that's going around? What if, heaven forbid, I die in a car wreck this afternoon? You know, what if? And then where will I be? Is my relationship right with God? Am I ready to go stand before God? What if I have to meet him today? Well, the wonder of hope is the confident expectation about meeting the Lord. What we just read together there is born again in Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to meeting the Lord. Tomorrow can always be better. Not for the world. The world is passing away and the lust of it. But those who obey the word of God shall live forever. Christians, tomorrow could be great. Each day is a new opportunity for someone to obey the gospel and become a Christian. Each day is an opportunity to live for him and share that good news with others. Even if he comes back tomorrow, we go home to be with him. Tomorrow is great. It's a living hope. And it's a hope that we can share. Why, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we're supposed to set apart or sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us. And I'll tell you that that reason for my hope, it's not omniscience, it's not omnipotence, it's not, my own perfection. The reason of my hope, well, we just read it right here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5. The reason for my hope was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What's the reason for my hope? It is quite simply this, that Jesus loved me, died for me, was buried, and rose again. He conquered death. He paid for my sin. He offers life. That's the reason for my hope.
And there's some things in this world that are difficult and confusing. But again, like I said, the reason for my hope is not anchored on my omniscience of all things in this world. It's on Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done. And that's the reason for your hope. Because he did that for you. And he loves you. You can communicate that to someone else. Indeed, sometimes our hope perhaps can wane. We don't feel a great sense of trust because we too are challenged by temptations and trials and difficulties. But do you know that hope can be fed? Just as faith can be fed and founded and built up, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we are taught that when we read the scriptures and those things written aforetime in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, that those things are written to encourage our hope, to review again who our God is in his great commands, his teachings, his mighty deeds, but his promises and how he's always faithful. It feeds our hope. And if we would go back to the word of God to renew our hope, it's a hope that we communicate and share with others. It's a way that we are the star. The star meant more, that there was hope. And there are people in darkness looking for hope. As I go back to Matthew chapter 2, I see a third. Three of four ways I'm sharing with you this morning that you're the star and you're leading others to Christ. Number three is when you show people the necessity of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 2, the star leads these wise men, however far that journey was, to Jerusalem. They must be of some prominence or some note because they get an audience with the king, King Herod. King Herod was a lot of things, but he was no fool. And so you wanted to talk to him seriously. Verses 3 through 6 tell us this. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Oh, there's a king here. And all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Suddenly there's questions around Jerusalem. Questions really the star provoked. Where's this king? We thought he'd be here. Oh, no, he's not here. Well, where would he be? You have questions? God has answers. Let's go to the written word. Let's go to the scripture and see. It's fascinating, isn't it? So many people today want to read the Bible and interpret the Bible through the lens of their personal experience. However, these wise men understood they needed to view their experience through the lens of scripture, through the Bible. What does this star mean? Well, let's go to the Bible and make sense of it. Instead of we've been reading the Bible and now we're going, looking at the stars, help me understand this word. No. God's word is true, written, revealed. You can trust the scripture. And there is such power, Christian, such power to lead people to the importance of the word of God. The people today have questions. And the source of truth, the source of knowledge, it's the word of God. It's the scriptures. It's the Bible. God has answers. What a powerful thing we can do to be able to direct people to the Word of God. Direct people to the Bible. It's so important, brothers and sisters, that this week we open up our ears and we be sensitive to people around us who are curious about the Bible. Maybe they've been reading the Bible. They got questions about it. I think about Philip the evangelist being an Ethiopian treasurer. And he's reading the prophet Isaiah. And he's reading it aloud. And Philip asks him, do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless someone teach me? How can I unless someone instruct? Right? Here's someone interested in the Word of God and the Scripture, and Philip can lead him from that place and teach him from that place. And you find people like that. You may find people like that around you at your work. Does your work have a lunch break Bible study going on? Does your work or your school have a prayer group before office hours? Maybe some type of weekly devotional group? Is there a campus Bible study going on? I don't know, but there are ways to discover other people who are interested in spiritual things and interested in the Bible. And seek to have a positive influence upon those people. I know for myself that I've had the ability on a number of occasions to be able to study the Bible with people who certainly had a background in religion. They grew up maybe a part of this denominational church or that one. And something happened within that group and within their awareness. And they said, well, I thought this church was trying to follow the Bible. I thought these people were committed about the Bible. But in this doctrine, they're really leaving the Bible. Or in this stance on morality or a moral issue, they're really leaving the Bible. And it's a light goes off for them. I'm in a place that's not about following the Bible. Tell me about a church that's going by the Bible. They were looking for somebody to read the Bible with them and teach the Bible to them. That's what's written. That's where it is. And you can be that person to help guide them to the Word. There are people seeking a teacher and an approach that is consistent with what they read in the Scripture. Be sensitive to those people, to meet those people. Be sensitive to people around you whose worlds are just rapidly changing, who are shifting. There are change seasons in life. People become parents. There's new births. That's a change season. A death of a close loved one. That's a change season. A new marriage and setting up a home. That's a change season. A divorce, a new beginning there. That's a change season. People relocating to a new town or a new community. That's a change season. Even some type of tragedy or disaster. And I will say this, with all of the unsettling of 2020, there's a whole lot of people that find themselves in change seasons at the beginning of 2021. Friends and neighbors of ours. And these are opportunities to be a star and to lead them to Christ. Change seasons. How lead them to Christ? By pointing them back to the Word of God and to recommend the Bible to them. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is living. Living. Sometimes the Bible just gets a bad rap. People call it, the whole thing's a dead letter. People say, well, why do you care about some book that's 3,000 years old and written in another language? Okay? Gets a bad rap. But it's living. Okay? It's always relevant. It's true. That makes it timeless, which means it's always timely. And we can share with people what we know how the Bible helps us. Let's read it together. You said so and so. It reminds me of this verse of Scripture. I'm a person of faith, but I think this verse of Scripture, it speaks to where you are right now, this situation. Let me share the Bible with you. I can't believe you're talking about that situation. The preacher was talking about that just the other day. Can I share the link with you? I think it'll help you. I mean, no pressure, but I think it would help if I can help you, right? Recommend the Bible. Point people to the Word of God. The star drove them to the Scripture. Finally, then, lead people to Jesus. We talk about shining as an example, sharing in hope, showing the power and the relevancy of Scripture, ultimately to lead them to Jesus. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 9, Matthew 2, verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. We saw the star, and the star's moving. They're following him. And it comes to this place over the child. Now, when I read that, it just helps me to understand this is a unique manifestation of the glory of God. It's what it is. It's miraculous. Stars don't move. That's why you can navigate by them. Virgins aren't with child. They're spiritual, there's miraculous things happening here. And so I look at this much in the light of the Old Testament, where there was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire that moved, and people knew where they were supposed to go. I think you got something like that going here. And they come to this place where the family is living. Mary, Joseph, the small child, in a house. Okay, they're here in Bethlehem. They're here in Bethlehem. And there's so joy. Look at verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They come into the house And they worshiped him. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't worship the star. They worshiped him. And what did that worship look like? They gave and they sacrificed to him. These are very precious treasures. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Worship to them wasn't coming and receiving. The family gave them a bunch of stuff. They've traveled and now they give and they sacrifice to him. And then look at verse 12. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country in another way. How long did they stay with the family? I'm not sure. Long enough to have a dream. And in that dream, here's the clear revelation of God to them, what they need to do and where they need to go next. And I'll tell you, it is a powerful thing to understand the will of God. But today we do not need to wait for dreams and mystical experiences, because God has revealed his word and made it known in the scripture. And when we come together for worship, there's opportunity to open up the word of God, to understand better his will for our lives, and certainly to leave the worship in a different path, in a different way than where we came. Again, settled on being what God would have us to be. So I want to encourage you as we draw this study to an end. Here's five strategies to use to invite, to encourage, to help people, even to come to worship the Lord. And what they might gain and learn and experience and observe about the Lord in a time of worship, encouragement. Here's five strategies. Number one, offer to pray for others. Brother Edwin, again, he does great about this. We go out to eat and he talks to the waitress and he says to her, we're about to have a word of prayer before our food. Is there anything we can pray for you? And it's remarkable, some of the answers that you get. It really is. I was talking to a brother at church in southern Indiana and he said, this is the congregation's evangelism strategy for 2021. We are just trying to ask all of the brethren to speak to a neighbor or a waitress or whoever they come into and just ask, can I pray for you about something? And that's what they're going to do for 2021. And just see, you know, see where that goes. Where are they spiritually? And of course you're going to pray for them spiritually. But find people who are interested in spiritual things as well. Offer to pray for others. The My Congregation is Open invitation to worship. So a remarkable thing we got going on here at Livingston is we are open and assembling to worship God. And because of that choice, we have had folks visiting from the community who maybe their background is in this kind of a denomination or that, but it's such a real need to gather and to worship. We're meeting folks, right? And we're so glad that you're here, and we want them to stay and learn more about the Word of God and this church that you read about in the New Testament. That's what we want. But it's a unique thing to say, hey, if you're going to church right now, if your church is closed, I get all that, but mine's open. You want to come to, mine's open, you know. That's a unique kind of thing that we can say right now. Number three, aren't we all getting into technology? You can share our podcast, the Text Talk podcast. You find it everywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you want to get them. And I'm not going to say anything self-serving about how wonderful the, insightful and life-changing all that. I'll say this about it, though. You're going to get 15 minutes of some discussion of the Word of God every day, which we all need that, okay? And for someone who's not a member of the congregation, they get a little flavor of who the teachers are around here, Edwin, myself, our voice, our personality, our approach. And, you know, if you share a podcast and, you know, a week or two later, what'd you think about that kind of thing? It can be an invitation. And, you know, believe it or not, as we've been doing the live stream and stuff, and people that I've not met have been seeing the sermons, people have come in and visited. And they've said, well, I want to see what this church is all about. I want to see if it's like what I saw on the live stream. And so sharing this information. We have a website, ineedgoodnewstoday.com or ineedgoodnews.today, which is the gospel is about as succinctly communicated as I can imagine, because I had a part in writing it. About 6 minutes of videos there that someone can go and watch. Of course, you can present the material via app as well. And I'll just say this. I've presented it to people in Pennsylvania using Zoom. It is so simple and straightforward. And don't forget that you have this technology tool right now to be a star, to lead people to Christ, to present the gospel, or at least have them go there and see it for themselves. And finally, as I mentioned a moment ago, our church website, which is now live streaming the worship, we are still offering interactive Bible classes via Zoom. And so if you have somebody that, you know, they would just want to watch on the live stream, they're not comfortable leaving the home yet, but they need some interaction, we can set that up. Just let us know. Let us know their email. We'll invite them in. It's secure. Okay? And we can have great Bible conversation together over Zoom and over these different technologies. But I'm giving you five very specific ways, five specific strategies here, that you be the star leading people to Jesus Christ and leading people even to the opportunity to worship together in this place. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Church, people around us may be far from Jesus spiritually. But I know that there are those who are looking in this darkness for light. And God has made you light in Christ. And when they see you in that way, this star that you are, they will follow you and follow you to Christ. And so this week, be that star and help lead people to Jesus. I appreciate so much your good attention. If you want to put your notes away and your Bibles away, Brother Stephen is going to come forward and lead us in another song, a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Been said you can't teach what you don't know and you can't lead where you won't go. And so we've talked a lot about this morning being the influence and encouraging someone else to become a Christian. So I just got to ask you, are you a Christian? Are you living each day and following the Lord that makes you that example, that makes you that light in this world? The credibility of your character, coupled with the boldness and conviction when you speak to someone about the gospel, it's a powerful thing that the Lord uses to bring people to Christ. But we want to make sure we have that credibility. So maybe you need to put on Jesus in baptism. We can help you to do that. Maybe you've strayed away from the path of the Lord, but you want to be restored to Him right now. It's a change season in your life, and you're ready to be right with the Lord. Can we pray for you, to encourage you, to be restored? Whatever that spiritual need is, we want you to leave here right with Jesus this morning. If you have a spiritual need, please come forward and make it known now, as together we stand and sing.